Heavenly Father, again we are conscious that the Holy Spirit draws each one of us here this morning. And Father, we all of us have need of ears open and hearts to receive the word. And Lord, let each of us examine ourselves in the faith. And that Father, you've not brought us here to condemn us, but to encourage us and to lift us up and to build us up in the faith. But Father, each of us also must want this and desire this. So I pray, Lord, that whatever obstacles indeed would be in the way in our lives would be removed through the ministering of the word. For Father, you will not take second place in this hour. Father, you will not share our hearts with other affections, other gods, but you must be the only one if it's to work. So help each of us to understand this, to have a godly fear over this, and to apply this, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I'd like us to turn, if we will, to the Word of God, because I think it's already started to be confirmed this morning that the Lord has given us indeed a teaching this morning on faith. And I was meditating and reading a very anointed book recently, and just something that struck me that probably I've heard many times, but somehow, you know, when things get from your head to your heart, it does make an awful difference. But I've called this teaching this morning, and I think the title will give its clue as to what I'm going to speak about, and that is, Our Sixth Sense is Faith. Our Sixth Sense is Faith. Now, I'm not getting a bit mystical at this point, or whatever it is, but that you have five senses that are set in your life, in your body. It is the way that God has made and created you. You have ears, you have eyes, smell, taste, touch, and so it goes on. And all those are very important if you are to function normally. You know, I met someone the other week, and she said to me, she said, I'm going through a trial at the moment. I said, you are? Yes, she said, I've had a bad virus. And she said, you'll never guess what's happened to me. She said, I've actually lost my taste. And she said, you wouldn't believe it, how taste is so important. And she said, do you know the thing that happens when you lose your taste? She said, you find it difficult to swallow. And I thought about that, and I thought, well, yes, that probably makes sense. She said, it's so difficult to swallow, because you can't taste anything. And she said, to swallow, it takes all your effort. And I thought, how much do we take taste for granted? Or smell for granted? Yet all these are functions that God has put within our body, and that we all need. Praise God for smell. Praise God for taste. Praise God that we can all hear this morning. Because if you had a problem in hearing, then you would be having a problem with faith. And so God has set all these within our body. And all of these functions are good and they're right. And that's a sign that you're healthy. That's a sign that God has made you in his image. But I want to show you where faith is concerned. Forget the five senses. And yet that is something we still seem to want to do. We still want to attach our five senses to where the sixth sense is concerned, and that is faith. And you will find that God, when you're born again and become a Christian, God gives you a sixth sense. You're no longer with five senses anymore. He's now giving you an extra one, and that is faith. And yet we try, don't we, to mix all the five together with faith. Or we try to get the sixth sense to mix with all the rest of the five senses. And you would have thought after all these years, we'd have learnt something, wouldn't we? That they do not mix, and yet we still try it. You try mixing fire and water. And you'll find that the two do not get on at all together. Try putting a cat and a dog together. Some say, well, yes, my animals get on all right. I think you'll find that they tolerate one another. That's generally what it is. And so, there are certain laws and principles that God has set into operation in this world, and you try and violate them, you try and mix them, you try and break those laws, those principles, and you'll find it has the repercussion. And we do exactly the same in our faith walk, don't we? We try and go round the easy route. We try and get God on our side so that he will compromise because we're having a bit of problem, or we don't want to die in a certain area, whatever it is. And we find after time that God will not play game with us. He will not compromise with us. He says, I have given you a sixth sense. It is faith, and that is solely for that. And don't try and mix your five senses with faith, because you'll never understand it, so don't try and do it. And that's where obedience comes in, you see, and yet we'll try it, won't we? We'll try and see how far we can get God on our side, or how far we can push him. We'll come up with all the excuses. Well, the Lord understands me. Yes, the Lord does understand you. He understands you enough to try and show you that you can't compromise where faith is concerned. And yet we're still trying to find that some are trying to do it. And as a result, they try and run. They try and hide. They try and hide things from the church, from God, as though we were born yesterday. We're not. I tell you something. In this assembly, and the discernment that God has put in this assembly, we know far more than you think. Now, it's not to try and make you feel fearful, or we're just trying to tell you that what God has placed in this church, we do see a lot more than some of you think. Some of you, bless your hearts, you're trying to hide. You're trying to hide certain things, and you can't hide. Now, I'm not saying that we have the all-seeing eye, because we're not God. But God has put, and I praise him for this, he has put more discernment in this church than you realize. We just don't go around telling you. That's what it is. We don't go around trying to drop hints. Well, big brother's watching you here. Because we know what that'll do. That is not love. That'll cause people to be fearful. That'll cause people to run. Yet at the same time, sometimes God does have to show it. And we do also know those who are growing in faith here and those who are not. And so we trust that this teaching this morning and maybe the next few weeks is to try and encourage you, to help you, but equally to show you that we're not blind, we're not stupid in this assembly, and that we do still know things that go on. We still are aware of compromises at times that still do exist. And it's only a question of time before God finally corners you, and you have to make a decision. And we've all had those cornerings, haven't we, from God, where we go our own sweet way for a while, and then suddenly God says, enough is enough. It's about time you decided whether you want to believe in this area or not. It's up to you, you see? And so this is what the Lord does. And we're finding that there's still some God is cornering. He's still bringing to that place. There are some in this assembly who are at decision points, whether they want to carry on now and go deeper with God or not, because God is all the while expecting a deeper sacrifice and consecration. Because the deeper you go in faith, the more consecrated you have to be. The more you're going into the devil's territory. All it is Gideon's army at the end of the day. Because God has got to have a fearless people who will march forth for the greater works. And who are in such faith that they're not going to listen or look to the giants when they start to appear. That's why I said that faith is a sixth sense. And you cannot mix the senses with faith. Now we all know what it says in Mark 11:24, don't we? That faith is the substance of things that... Sorry, no, it's not. Wherefore, whatsoever thing you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive, and you will have it. Sorry, that was Hebrews 11:1. I've got them both down here. And that principle of faith still stands. Whatever you desire, whatever you believe, whatever you see, whatever you know, God says you can have it if the conditions are met. You see, true faith is always the evidence of things not seen. That is faith. And yet we still want to somehow feel as though we've got one foot in the boat and one foot on the water, and it all looks very respectable, it all looks very balanced, it all feels very secure, to feel that we're in that half dimension of the physical and that half dimension in the spiritual. And God will not have those two mixing together. Because when you have one foot in the boat, you've still got the old senses in operation. And when you've got one foot on the water, you've got the sixth sense in operation. You're saying, now I'm going to try and juggle this. I'm going to try and be sensible about this. I'm going to try and be spiritual about this. And we're not going to go too overboard. And we're going to try and mix all the lot together. And so we can keep it all balanced. Now I'm all for keeping balance. Don't get me wrong. Now either you're going to live in the five senses and be balanced. Or you're going to live in the sixth sense of faith and be balanced. But don't try and amalgamate the two. To try and keep some form of balance. Because that's humanistic philosophy and thinking. Amen? It is. And I'm all for being balanced. But it is a spiritual balance. It's being balanced by faith. And some have seemed to got it in their notion, oh, well, that's a sign that we compromised. No, it's not. It's not at all. As I'm going to show you. So faith is always the evidence of things not seen. That's the principle of Hebrews 11:1. That is what faith is about. And we have the evidence of our faith. What is the evidence of our faith? Well, salvation. I trust that we're all saved. Filled with the Spirit. Another sign of the evidence of faith. Another sign is that we have the Word of God. And we have chosen and desired that we want to believe what God says against what the circumstances say, you see. They're all the signs of faith. Baptism in the Spirit, salvation. I'm going to go even further. Your commitment into discipleship. Your commitment to the local church that God baptizes you in. All these are a sign that you're in faith, you see. And yet we find that God, once more, stretches us, challenges us, you see. Faith never stands still. See, that's the wonder of faith. No sooner do you believe for one thing, than God is showing you something else. Now, you see, we seem to get it in our heads, or, well, we mustn't be too greedy where faith is concerned. You know, we must keep it balanced. But I have found that God is all the while challenging our faith to go deeper. Not only for your temporal, material needs, but also for physical needs. Also our faith is needed to grow with the Lord, to go deeper with God. I tell you, faith is just such an open reservoir that it just goes on and on and on. And what I find is so encouraging about it is that the Holy Spirit challenges you to go on for deeper things. Yet we've got these religious mindset thinking, oh well, we mustn't be too greedy and whatever it is. I tell you, if you're a man or woman of real faith, you are very greedy. You are very hungry. You take a lot of satisfying and filling, just like a baby that's growing up. You know, often mothers say, I don't know, I've just fed that child an hour ago, and look at it, it's hungry again. I'm everlasting trying to feed the child. Well, that's a good sign that child's healthy as far as I'm concerned. It might tire you out, but that's a sign that child is healthy. You want to be concerned when that child's not hungry. And yet we find that in the house of God. And that's exactly what God wants with his people. A people who hunger for more. Who want to go deeper with God. I tell you, if you're learning the deeper life principles, one thing you're going to say that's going to come out of your lips one day, Lord, never let me be filled. Always keep me hungry. Always keep me wanting more and more and more. They're the ones that grow.
They're the ones that wax strong in faith because they have seen something about God. They have seen that he can give and give and give and never runs out.
Now, some of us are thinking, oh yes, but that can make us a bit selfish. That can make us as though we take God for granted. Don't you concern yourself about that.
God will soon show you if you're taking him for granted. He'll soon show you if you're coming with the wrong attitudes. If you're meeting all the right conditions, you're going to find that you have an unquenchable thirst that wants more and more and more of God.
And to me, that is the sign of the sixth sense that's healthy and in operation.
And I want to show you this morning, you have a sixth sense if you're born again, filled with the Spirit. And I want to show you that sense that God has given us, faith, can go as far as you like.
As far as you like. You see, the evidence of faith is really the title deed to the things not seen. Now all of us have an inheritance here this morning.
You have an inheritance that is so vast, so great, that you can't even begin to conceive what you have. Do you know something? I'm going to just tell you something now, whether you believe this or not, and I pray that this goes from your head to your heart, but you materially, spiritually, are the most wealthiest people on planet Earth.
I'm told that the Emperor of Brunei is probably the most wealthiest man who walks on the face of the earth. I'm told that he makes, in interest, over a million a minute each day with his money. He is so wealthy, they don't even know really how much he's got.
Now, that is material wealth. And yet God says that that is not a patch to what you have and what your inheritance is in eternity. Believe me, friends. If you just don't understand this, we'll just say amen to it, because God will get it to your head, to your hearts.
Because it is true.
Do not limit God.
We must not limit the Lord now. As God is going to start to unveil, as he's going to start to add and build, as he's going to start to manifest us, we must not limit God. No matter what the circumstances, no matter what is staring us in front of our big baby blue eyes, doesn't matter.
Faith is really the title deed to the things not seen. That is where your sixth sense comes in to receive your inheritance. You cannot receive your inheritance in your five natural senses. Your five natural senses say, oh, he's balmy. He's off his rocker. That's what the five senses say, but the sixth doesn't.
You see? You may hold the title deeds to your house, which is the evidence that you own it. There's some here today, you own the title deeds. And what do those title deeds reveal? They say, that belongs to you. And if somebody comes in and says, is this house yours? And you say, yes it is. Well, I don't think it is. I don't believe that house is yours. Right, you hang on a minute. I'll give you proof. And what will you do? You'll go upstairs and you'll get the title deeds and say, here you are, here's the proof. Oh, I'm sorry if I disturbed you. It's exactly the same with us, friends. That's why God's giving you the sixth sense of faith. Here's your title deed. Here it is, all in here.
That wasn't written by you. That wasn't written by any theologians. It wasn't written by man, it was written by God. Here is the title deeds to your inheritance. Amen. And he's even saved you and filled you with his Spirit and plunged you into the realm of faith so that you can receive it and believe it.
We're so far gone, we'd look at that and say, impossible. And sometimes we say, Lord, it just seems impossible. And God will turn around and say,
yes, it is with man, but not with God.
Even the disciples said that. Lord, who can be saved? Who can inherit what you have given man? You see. And there's the evidence, you own it, friends. It's right here, these 66 books, and it's whether you choose to believe it or not. There is nobody here this morning who has any obstacle in front of you where you cannot choose to believe. I don't care what your obstacle is, I don't care what your trial is, you can see that and say, I choose to believe this. And I believe that God will help me through the Holy Spirit to enter into my inheritance. It's your inheritance to be shared with Jesus.
You see?
So faith is that title deed to what you have not seen as yet. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Here it is. It's written. God says it's all yours. A hundredfold blessings even in this life. It is all yours. This is the title deed. You say, yes, Lord, I know. Okay, it's faith. Faith is the sixth sense. Faith says, I have it in Jesus' name. And God says, right, you have the title deeds. Now, you see, the problem we have with our title deeds is that we're going to receive that when we get to the other side. But you see, God being God, he's already giving you some blessings that are in your title deeds already even in this life. You see? Sometimes where a will is written out, sometimes a lot of money can be left to a person, and sometimes a legacy can be given. Or it's a certain amount is given at a certain time, and the rest is received when you reach a certain age. I had something like that years back that was left me, a certain amount, but I couldn't touch it till I came to a certain age. And so that is what God has done where his will is concerned. Obviously, he can't give you all his will because most of the will is for when we're in the Spirit, with him in eternity. He can't start giving you all that and bringing that into the flesh realm. Because it's not for the flesh realm, it's not for this life. But he says, I'll give you a down payment, I'll give you enough that'll satisfy you in this life, that'll convince you. And that's what we need to look at sometimes. You see, it's easy to say, oh well, it's all when we're going to get to glory. That's what your denominations teach. But God is already showing us that there is so much of it, so much, that you've got enough even here in this life to keep you quiet. And glorify his name. You see? So to me, it just reveals how great is this that he's left us and bestowed to us when we get into eternity. Do you know, friends, the Lord has quickened to me and shown me some of the things that we're going to come into when we go into glory? Do you know that you are going to be given your own mansion? Your own arboretum? That's how it reads in the Greek. I know I've said this before, but I'll say it again. You're going to be given your own garden, woodland. You're going to have your own residence with as much spiritual staff and servants that you will ever need. You're going to share some of the treasures, some of the creation of God in the spiritual realm. You're going to be able to choose and desire. There are going to be spiritual shops in heaven. There's going to be so filled with spiritual goodies that you can go and decide whatever you want to have in your spiritual mansion. You can choose whatever you want. Your mansion will be so huge that you will not see the end of it. The garden, the woodlands will be so huge, you won't even see the end. I believe these are just some of the things the Lord's quickened to me. It's like looking out sometimes out to the sea. And you know that there's America the other side there, but you can't see it.
That's just exactly like your spiritual house and ground that you will have. And this will all be shared with each other. Shared with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You won't need any light. You won't need to switch lights on. For the light and glory of God will fill that place that He's blessed you with. There'll be tours. There'll be holidays. There'll be fellowship. There'll be meetings. There'll be spiritual places to go and worship the King of Kings. You'll be ever locked in to the harmony and sounds of heaven and the angels and the archangels praising, worshipping God. Whatever you think, whatever you desire to go, there you will be. You will need no jumbo to get on, no airport to get to and wait for a flight.
Need I go on?
Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. And all of this is yours because God has given you a sixth sense. Faith.
That's how you receive it. That's how you receive it, friends. You see, this sixth sense of faith. Faith is using what belongs to us. That's why God has given it to you. There's no other way He can give it to you. There's no other way you can see it. So God has baptized you. You're born again. Plunged you into the realm of faith. Into the sixth sense. So that you can start to enter in and receive what is rightfully yours. That's why we have faith. Faith is using what belongs to us, you see. So it's no good just saying, I have faith. You have to use faith in order to receive what belongs to you. It's like a light, if you like. You can't get light in this room unless you go and switch that switch on. And so that is exactly the same as what God has given to us. He has given each one of us a spiritual switch. Now you switch it on. He's given you the ability. He's given you the power. He's given you the new birth. He's put His Spirit within you. You have the power to switch it on. And it's up to you how long you keep it on. Because some are saying, well, I better not keep the light on too long. The bill will get pretty big at the end of the year. The electric bill. Well, it's no problem with God. You keep that switch switched on and don't turn it off. And that's why you see Jesus left us here to inherit what is ours. He left a will. We are the beneficiary in Jesus' will. He left that. He left as an example. I mean, He had everything, so He divested Himself. And through His divestment, He can now share this with you and me, you see. So He's not only given us eternal life, He's not only given us healing and deliverance in this life, He's given you all things in this life. Friends, whatever obstacle, whatever you're believing for, whether it's your home, your marriage, your job, these are practical things that we meet every day, they are yours in Jesus' name. You're saying, oh, but Pastor, you don't know how I feel. You don't know what obstacles I've got to get over. You haven't looked at my front garden recently. There's a load of weeds there. I don't even know where to start. But all I can say to you, friends, is stop looking at it. And get your eyes above it. And get looking to Jesus. I tell you, the times when it's collapsing around you, that is the time when you're at your strongest in faith, if you did but know it. That is the time when everything looks so hopeless and it's gone from bad to worse. That's when God does and can and will prove Himself. Amen. It's up to you whether you're going to let those fears and anxieties go. You know? Because He's left us His will. We're benefactors to that will. And it's up to us, friends. You are already blessed. You are already wealthy. The moment he died, even though you cannot see it yet, the Lord's last will and testament, it is already ours by the death of Jesus, who is the testator. The moment he died, it was legally handed over. Over the whole lot. It was handed over to Jesus, and Jesus has handed it over to you and me. He didn't keep it to himself. He could have. But no, the love of the Father says, I've given all to Jesus. All authority, heaven and earth, is given to the whole lot. And the Father knew what Jesus would do with it. He knew that Jesus would never keep it to himself. He knew he'd share the whole lot as well. And he has. And you do Jesus a misjustice when you decide not to share what he has given. He is a faithful giver, a generous giver. Conditions to it, yes. That's why we believe in prosperity, and we believe along with our prosperity that we too give as well. That we too are generous in the blessings that God gives us. Why? Because the principle is to be found in Jesus. All has been given to him. He chooses to share it with us. So he blesses us with that, and we inherit it as well, and we choose to share it with others as well. That's what it's all about, friends. I can't understand these Christians who get blessings from God and hold it all to themselves. Are covetous, don't share anything with what God gives. I don't understand that, because they're not really experiencing the blessings of Christ. Because he's graciously and generously given to us. And friends, if you're in prosperity, you're prospering so much that you too can share it with others. That's what it's all about. The Lord showed me that one years ago, and that's why prosperity went so wrong. Because everybody was wanting it all for themselves. Me, 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 me. And I tell you why it's me, 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 me. Because there's no cross in it. See? If there's no cross in the teaching of faith, then faith is very selfish. It's very orientated to self. And that's why it's gone so dramatically wrong. But you are already blessed, my friends. You see, Christians are the only people that have, as I've said, a sixth sense. Don't go and try and expect other people outside or those in your family who are not born again. Sometimes, you know, we tend to think, well, we've got this sixth sense that's been given to us as a gift. And why is it they haven't got it? Why is it they can't believe? Why is it they can't see? Because they don't have a sixth sense. We do. But they don't. They only have five. And they're locked in that five, you see. And that sixth sense, my friend, is faith. And this is why it's Mark 11:24. Wherefore, whatsoever thing you desire, when you pray, believe you received and you shall have it. See, Jesus gave that in the context of also loving your enemy. Loving those that persecute you. He also says in Matthew chapter 22, wherefore whatsoever thing you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. And he gives that right in the context of where he cursed the fig tree. And yet the fig tree didn't die straight away, it died the following day. You see, he was trying to show again faith. That if it's faith, and I've said to you many times, you must know it's faith. You must know the sixth sense is in operation. You then believe. You know you're healed. You know you have that money in Jesus' name. You know you have that job in Jesus' name. It's, as I've said before, you make sure you know. Do you know you have the sixth sense of faith? Do you? Well, I do. You say, well, how do you know? Well, by the way you live. By the way you seek God. By the way you desire to please him. That's all a sign that you're in faith, you see. You see, if it is faith in believing what we have prayed for before seeing it or feeling it, this is the confidence that we have that's ministered to us through the Holy Spirit. You see, I've been saying to you many, many times that faith is the evidence. What is the evidence? Here it is. Here's the promises. Here's what is written. So you can believe if the conditions are right, you know it's right, then you can believe for this. And you have it by faith. Faith is the sixth sense that comes into operation. Because you see, you need an evidence. That's the way we're made, you see. I mean, let's give you an example. I could hold here, say, a bottle of perfume. And I say, this perfume, or cologne, or aftershave, call it what you like, is really nice. Now, you don't know whether it is or not. You've only got my word for that. But you will decide that when you smell it. So you need one of your senses to come into operation to smell that. Now, I would get pretty concerned if somebody said, oh, I really would like to smell what that is like. And when they take hold of the jar or the bottle, they open their mouth and put the spray in their mouth. They say, wow, it really smells nice, doesn't it? Eh? Well, you've drunk it, you see. How can you tell if it smells nice by drinking it? You'll probably burn your tongue anyway. You see? How can you tell if it smells nice by drinking it? You'll probably burn your tongue anyway. You see? Now, why would you be confused like that? Because something that says to you, hey, their senses are all hickledy-pickledy. You know? And so it's exactly the same how we go about. We get all confused, don't we, where the sixth sense of faith is concerned. We're trying to smell faith. Or we're trying to feel faith. Lord, how's these lumps getting on? You know? We're trying to bring faith into our senses. And he's exactly doing the same of drinking that bottle of scent. That's really what you're doing, you see. I mean, we laugh at it because that's how ridiculous it is. Faith has nothing to do how you feel. Faith has nothing to do what you see. Faith is nothing to do what you hear, how you feel, what you're smelling, what you're tasting. Nothing. So tell yourself that. When you start to prod yourself or do all the things that sometimes we do, keep looking in the mirror and see, is it getting any better? Say, forget it. Forget its senses. Forget its senses. You're useless where faith is concerned.
Yeah.
That's what I've had to say sometimes to my senses. I say, you're absolutely useless.
Yes.
You don't give me any evidence. You don't give me any sign. You have no help whatsoever. That's what I tell my senses sometimes where faith is concerned. You let me down every time. It's true, friends. Your senses will let you down every time where faith is concerned and the sixth sense, you see. So it's faith in believing what we have prayed for before seeing it or feeling it. And this is the confidence which you have. And I want to show you that God ministers this confidence to you. Let's look at Hebrews 10:35. Now, I've said many, many times that faith knows. Faith has a confidence. Faith has a boldness. And I want to show you how in the sixth sense of faith you can experience this. You see, in the sixth sense of faith, you know, faith has never left you high and dry. The same as you can taste something. If I give you a big lump of cheese there and you say, oh, that tastes nice. And there are two things that you have in operation there. You're going to smell it, which may not smell so nice, but tasting it may well do, you see. So there are two senses in operation, what you hold, what you see, what you feel. Now, faith has its own senses in that sense, but it's got nothing to do with your five senses. That's the difference. Hebrews 10:35-36.
Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. There's basically the principle of Mark 11:24. Now, I want to take your mind back to this, and this is what I had never seen before, and this is where God opened my eyes to see this, to put this into Scripture, where I've said many times that faith knows if it's faith. And here it is, cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Faith, and I said, that's it, Lord. I've always known when true faith is in operation, I've always had a boldness and a confidence about me. And I said, that's it. That's what we're looking for. To try and put it into words. Faith has a confidence. Come boldly into the presence of God if you're in faith. You see? Because God will only reward those that come boldly into his presence. God does not like timidity. Doesn't. That's not how he is. Oh, he'll minister you for a while if you're a bit timid. But he doesn't like that for too long. God likes a confidence. Because people who are confident, they prove several things. They prove that they know God. They prove that they've got a good relationship with the Lord. And they prove they're not frightened of him. Now, yes, I'm all for a godly fear. But God doesn't like Christians who are frightened of him. I think we heard a bit of that coming out in prophecy this morning. And fear will do that. That's why fears have got to be, we've got to be delivered of fears. Because fears have torments. And fears make you frightened of God. And you notice people who are fearful, bound with fears, they cannot seem to get a confidence where they come confidently into the presence of God. And little wonder you don't receive. So there we are. Faith always has its sign. If you know it's true faith, you'll know there is a confidence about you. Now, this confidence is nothing to do with pride, because we have seen people, oh, well, I'm in faith, and I've got it in Jesus' name, and, you know, all charged up and so forth. You know full well that's flesh. No. This is a confidence that comes in the Spirit. It's a confidence that comes in consecration. It's a knowing. They may not say a lot. In fact, I'm a believer, if this true spiritual confidence of faith is there, you don't have to go around mouthing and saying a lot. It's well able to advertise itself. Amen. But that's what Jesus says. He tells us not to cast away this. Why? Because it hath great recompense. That's why. Recompense of what? A reward. Yes, sometimes the manifestation will be delayed. In fact, I say 9 times out of 10 in this body, the manifestations are delayed. It's just the way God has chosen to train us. And I know why. I can see the wisdom of God behind it. If he gave us everything straight away, we wouldn't wax strong in faith. Now, I said a few weeks ago that I'm also all for believing for instant manifestations. You should have a confidence and a boldness for that as well. Because Jesus did. Many times in Jesus' ministry, he saw an instant manifestation. And I expect that. But sometimes we find for our own self, our own needs, sometimes God delays the manifestation. But I'm going to bring your mind back, and I'm going to ask you to search and to look at yourself to see whether you're in the faith over this. Is there a confidence about you? Are you wavering? Are you up and down? Are you oppressed by the circumstances? If you are, there's signs you're not in faith. There's signs you've got to get back with God and get it right. Because there is a confidence. There is a rest of faith if it truly is there. And we're never to cast this away because it has a great reward. This is why we also turn to 1 John 5 verses 15 and 16. 1 John chapter 5. Verses 15 and 16. And if we know that he hear us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life, for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death, and I do not say that he shall pray for it. And so it goes on. And let's look also at verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. So we have a confidence knowing that what we're hearing, what we're receiving, this teaching, this should quicken us in the faith. This should give us a confidence. I trust that if you're hearing this with your heart this morning, this should be quickening you, giving you a greater confidence with God. And if we know that he hears us, there's the key to it. See, you've got to ask yourself, Lord, have you heard me? Do I really know this? Or is there unconfessed sin in my life? Is there compromise? You see, this is why you've got to continue ever coming before God, searching your hearts, knowing that the channel of faith, the conditions are right, seeing that you are in that sixth sense, in faith, if you are indeed to receive from the Lord. And this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will. Well, how do we know his will? It's very simple. Getting into the word of God. And he heareth us. So if we know he's heard us, whatever then we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. And there it is, that term to know again. It's a knowing out of experience. It's a knowing of God knowing. It's not you just knowing, a mental assent. It's knowing the mind of God, what he has said. It's tuned and locked into that great mind, the mind of Almighty God himself. It's knowing, having met the conditions, you see. You know, someone said, and I think this is a very apt saying, talking of faith and faith being the sixth sense, faith means that we have left the sense realm. When you came into faith, when you started to grasp that we're to walk by faith, I'm going to tell you something, you left the sense realm. As far as relying upon the sense realm, as far as putting your faith in the sense realm, that was the moment you chose and decided and said, I now no longer put any confidence, I now choose to leave the sense realm as far as my walk with God goes. And I think some of us, bless our hearts, we haven't ever settled that one yet. And you see, all the while you compromise, you're showing that you haven't really settled to walk in the faith realm. That's where commitment comes. That's what I choose to look for. You see, I know some of us may not have got there completely yet. I know some of us may have failed where faith is. But what I look for in this church is that everyone has settled it as far as walking totally, completely by faith. That's what you must settle. As you'll waver, you'll be up and down. It's like discipleship. People talk about it, but they've never settled it, you see. So I thought that was a very apt saying, which faith means we have left the sense realm. We've settled it. We have chosen to walk in the realm of the Spirit. Romans 8, walking in the Spirit. It's what Paul was speaking about. Chosen to leave the sense realm. Chosen to leave how you feel. Chosen to leave what the circumstances look like. Chosen to leave what people are saying about you. Chosen to leave how you feel or what the symptoms look like. You have settled it. You've chosen to walk in the faith realm and not the sense realm. Amen. Amen. That's why, friends, if you want to walk in the faith realm, you have to have good food to taste. Spiritually, that is. Now, we all like good food, don't we? I was talking about it the other day. Nobody likes to eat junk food, or although I'm at the same time, most of your food that you buy has been tampered with one way or another, but we still like to eat good food, and God wants to bless us in that area. And I assume that we want good food where the spiritual is concerned, if not more so. And that's why some of you, bless your hearts, you travel the distance like you do. Because no man can boast in this church. We just believe that this is where God is feeding us with good food. And it's not to say we're the only church. Although I've looked around over the years and can't find many, I have to say that. But they are around. But we want good food. We're just not satisfied with junk spiritual food that sometimes is often being given out week after week. And the reason is because we're seeing something far greater. We're seeing how big our God is. We're seeing that He can give us the very best. That's why I say again to you, don't ever take substitutes. Don't ever take a substitute. You may have to wait longer for the real thing, but it's worth it in the end. God will give it to you. He won't let you down. Great is your reward. And I know there's some of you here, bless your hearts, you've been waiting, you've been through some deep trials, but I've seen what God's given you at the end of it. And that's just an inkling, that's just a foretaste to what there is and more that He wants to give you, you see. Of course it's a hard track. There is a lot of deep training and preparation. At times it can look so negative. At times it can look so ridiculous. At times it can look as though God doesn't want to bless us. But that's where He's getting you to hold on in faith. One day your turn will come. One day I can assure you Jesus will walk past. And He will say, rise up and walk in the name of Jesus. He always will. He never forsakes your cries that come up to Him day and night. You see, God loves men and women who knock day and night, who are like the persistent widow who will not take no for an answer. You see? Because the devil's out to try and rob you, friends. The devil's jealous over your inheritance. Do you know why he's jealous? Because he's lost his. He was foolish enough to think he could be God. And so because he's lost his, he's going to try and make sure you lose yours. He doesn't like your inheritance that you have. Shall I tell you, your inheritance is far, far, far greater than Satan's. And he was the anointed out of all the creation of heaven. He was the one that was closest to God, covering the throne of God with the cherubim. And yet he has lost the lot. He's lost all his inheritance. Do you know, he originally had a greater inheritance than what we had. And he forsook the lot, and pride did it. And so because he's forsaken it and he's lost it and never, ever will ever receive a jot or tittle of it, he's going to try and make sure you too don't receive yours either. That's up to you whether you're going to let him do that or not. You see? It's up to you whether you're going to get him off your back and get him under your feet where he rightly belongs. Because that's what the Word of God says. And there's nothing like knowing Satan's under your feet. It gives you boldness, gives you confidence, it gives you peace with God. And it puts him in his rightful place, you see. As I've said many times, Satan fears you more than you ever fear him. Believe me, believe me. So that's why God is giving us good food. Food that we can spiritually taste and eat week after week. And you see, faith has the word to see. You say to me, if I could only just see faith. Oh, somehow, you know, I said, yes, you have. Here it is. You can see it in the sixth sense. God's giving you a sixth sense of faith, and this is what feeds that sixth sense. Not looking around, not even listening to other people. This is what feeds this. This is what tells you. Now it's up to you whether you want to get into it and believe it and settle upon it or not. It's as simple as that. Don't look for any other means to feed and to confirm and speak the realm of faith. You won't get it in any other way. You will only get it in one way, and that is through the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, reading, believing the Word of God. Amen. That's how it comes. That's how it's always come, and that's how it always will come. It can come no other way. I think some of us are a bit naive and think we sit down for a lovely lunch, nice three-course meal set before us. You think, oh, I'm really ready for this. I'm ravenous, you know. And think, praise the Lord, this is how I'm going to get faith, by eating this. You won't. You'll be satisfied, yes, you'll be full. And it might send you off to sleep in the afternoon. But it won't give you faith, which has given you that meal on that table. Friends, it comes by this. This is what feeds the sick sense that God has given you. And never let that go. Always remember this. Because it's good when God shows us another angle in this, you know? Because sometimes it can be a bit frustrating. You think, if only I could feel this faith. If only I could just somehow feel that I'm getting through or I'm on the right track. If sometimes I just want to hold it. Sometimes I want to feel it. Sometimes I just want God to appear before me. You see, I'm trying then to get God down to my five senses. I'm trying to get the five senses in operation where faith is concerned. And at the end of the day, you just go say, forget it, forget it. Start again. Start again. We've got the old five senses caught up in this. And when I see the five senses caught up in this, I just stop and say, stop, start again. You're trying different means. Different dimension and it'll never work. Let's get back into the realm of faith. Let's get back into the sixth sense. Let's get back to where we can get the conditions right. I have to do that, friends. Oh, I wish some saints would just stop like that and get right with God. We would not see these tragedies that we see. We would not see these things that go so desperately wrong. They cannot be honest and real for the fact that they've gone into the sense realm. And that's sin. I found God doesn't cast you off. He's all the while trying to get your attention and say, don't go on any further. You're not in faith. It's going to be a collision. It's going to be fatal if you go on any longer. But man, like he is sometimes, can't tell him. That's why pride is so blinding. Pride will believe it's in faith. Pride will believe it's going on, doing the right thing. That's why I try and expose pride for what it is, because pride is blinding. Oh, friends, you'd be discerning, most discerning over yourself where faith is concerned. Because God gives you the clear signs when you're not in faith. He's showing you more clearly than you realize. You just don't want to look. You don't want to have to admit, this is the third time I've had a go at this and I've fallen again. Well, friends, I've got news for you. It might take 50 times. But if you stay with it, endure to the end, you'll eventually get over that hurdle. Because by staying with it is a sign you're in faith. You see? I mean, to get it from your head to your heart, we're all at different levels. I can't decree when faith, the seed of faith, drops. That is a divine working of God. That's you working with God. That's you yielding to God. That's you with relationship. I can't sit here and say, well, praise the Lord. Everyone who's heard this word this morning, it's all dropped from their heads to their heart. They've all gone out this morning, heard with their hearts. I'd love to be able to say that. Nothing would give me greater pleasure, but I'm not that stupid. I'm not that stupid. I know human nature enough, being human myself. I just have to continue to believe and trust that yes, we'll all receive the grafted word in our hearts. You see? But we're all at different levels. And that's why we have to continue teaching you this morning faith. It's just something that never dies. It continues to remain with us. Because the things that are coming upon this earth now, I don't have to tell you. I don't have to tell you it's going from bad to worse. I tell you, it gets blacker and blacker outside there. The news gets worse. I'm getting to the point sometimes where I don't want to hear it. You know, you hear things so horrendous, and you sort of think to yourself, can it be any more? Can it get any worse? And yet God says it's going to. You know? And yet these should be all the clear evidence and signs to us that it's not far away. And I don't want to cause emotionalism or hyperism here this morning, but friends, I don't know how long it's going to be until the Lord comes. I'm finding coming out of my lips more and more, Lord, come quickly, come soon. I think that's what's going to call him back. Is saints out of desperation, saints out of love, saints out of commitment, just say, Lord Jesus, come soon. Come soon. Because man is fouling it up, good and proper. Politicians don't have the answers. It's loud and clear now. Politicians are saying we've got to try and bring some more moral education back in the schools. Why don't they try start bringing it in the home? Schools were never raised up to bring up children. Well, as far as the world goes, they were there to educate them. The moral side of bringing a child up is in its home. That's why you've got all the social workers today. And a lot of things are going wrong with social work. Have you noticed? A lot of things are covered up and now starting to get uncovered. I tell you why, friends. It was not how God designed it. God designed the family life. He purposed that men and women should have responsibility over their children and bring them up in the fear of God. Not shirking that responsibility on someone else or upon school teachers that can't cope with it as it is. I know I've got one or two friends, even some out in the world there, who are school teachers. They come home exhausted. They're not teaching as they should be. They're having to be social workers. They're having to be a mother. They're having to be a father. I think we expect far too much. And yet if anything goes wrong, or it gets in the head, in the papers, all the social workers are sued or whatever it is, and yet we cannot face the real problem that it is families that are walking without God. No man will try anything except going to that one thing, you see? And so they're trying something new now. Let's try and bring a bit of moral backbone into the schools. Want more RE lessons and whatever it is. Thinking that that's the answer. Well, I'm not going to throw the baby out of the bathwater. There may be some that will get saved through RE lessons. I know there's some seed sown into me in my early days. I think that's just the grace of God probably working in that way. I wouldn't want to paint a completely black picture. But I think sometimes we put upon people far, far too much. Society does. And they're all clear signs that we're becoming a godless nation. A faithless nation. A nation that no longer understands faith. Well, let that not be of Full Gospel Assembly. Well, I'm going to leave it there for this week because there is more in this that I want to speak on. But you have been given a sixth sense. Unlike those out in the world who only have five, you have six. And the way you feed that, the way you understand, the way you know where the sixth sense is concerned, it's all contained in these 66 books. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, again this morning, we thank you for this teaching and encouragement. And Lord, we all of us have need of hearing it. I pray, Father, very simply, that all those who are part of this church, that our faith fails not. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. For I am building a people of power, and I'm making a people of praise that will move.